This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
For McKinnon, trying to weave, he scores! Threw it toward the net from the top of the slot, and it got past Hellebuyck. And back on to Taves. Now a wraparound by Matthews, and they score! Brady Tkachuk knocked it home! It squirted out to Larkin, and back to his good buddy Werenski, right on net. Rebound Matthews, trying to pass, they score! Sanderson! Mitch Marner, high slot down low. Bennett scores! Sam Bennett ties it for Canada! Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good Friday morning. The Yankees are allowing facial hair. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Jeremy and Joe, good Friday morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the Four Nations wrapping things up. Connor McDavid, the golden goal. Great game, great tournament. Stephen Ellis of the Daily Faceoff joining us on the Wester Hotline to put a nice bow on it. Stephen, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We're disappointed the U.S. did not win, but we're you know, at the same time, kind of basking in what was a really fun 2 weeks.
Yeah, like, I think that's the thing to kind of take away from this. This is not as important to many people as the Olympics and events that are we're going to be seeing going forward, or like the World Cup of Hockey in 2028. But I think what we saw was some fantastic competitive hockey. Was it the highest level of hockey we saw? No, it felt like there was maybe a bit too much defensive hockey in the first six games. But then to close it out with as incredible of a game as we saw, where both teams led, you look at there was a thing called the deserve to win o-meter, and it was basically 50% all game long. Like, that's what you want to see, right? And there were mistakes, but then there was just some great goaltending, and overall, what a fantastic way to end the tournament.
Yeah, if you're rooting for the U.S. in this tournament, can you almost feel okay this morning, even though you lost? Because isn't all the evidence through the whole tournament, but especially in the two games? I mean, like, shot attempts were exactly the same last night. Shots were even. If you take out the empty net goal in the Saturday game, it was like 5-5, I think. Like, all the evidence points to these two teams now are, like, really, really even.
Yeah, like, you don't want to make excuses, but what if Quinn Hughes is there? What if Brock Faber had another year of experience? What if all those players that missed that game against Sweden that might have not been at full health in this final game, like the Tkachuk brothers, well, what would have happened then? What if they had Charlie McAvoy? So to come as close to Team Canada, where it was pretty close to their main roster, obviously no Kate Theodore, there were no Petrangelo, and no Josh Morrissey in the end, it was still kind of what you wanted to see out there. And you saw that Connor Hellebuyck was so close to finally just breaking through and winning that all-elusive championship game that he's been missing all these years and one of the top goalies. But you still look at that, and there were just so many promising elements that was easily the best American roster I think we've ever seen at any hockey tournament. I think any past American team would tell you the same thing. And it's only going to get better next year for the Olympics.
Steven, I think Joe and I were kind of joking around, like, what happens, you know, the hockey world looks at this tournament and says, what do hockey fans do the next day? And the answer is, we take apart the GM of the team that lost. You know, you said it was the best American team that they've ever had. Was it the best team America could have iced?
Well, no. You look at Tage Thompson obviously not being there. You look at Cole Caulfield and not being there, and obviously no Quinn Hughes, but so it could have been even better, and some of that was out of their control, like with Quinn Hughes' injury. But I think part of it is, I think the GMs on all the teams were still trying to play this kind of maybe old school. Like, we still wanted some guys who could be these role players, like Brock Nelson being a two-way threat, and Chris Kreider going there to be a tough player to play against. But then, like, Kyle Connor is one of the top goal scorers in the league, and he wasn't used in a scoring role pretty much the entire tournament. So That part of it shows you the depth it has, but part of it also shows you that, like, I wonder how this roster would have been constructed if it was named January 15th as opposed to December 4th. And I think Canada would say the same thing when it comes to goaltending. A lot of people would have said, okay, well, Logan Thompson probably would have been the starting goalie for Canada had they had all that time to look at it, but it's just kind of the way it is. And so the Olympics is still the goal here, and they've probably learned a few things along the way, and they'll be able to prepare for that better.
Yeah, like, I was wondering, like, would we expect to see them act differently? I guess you're kind of saying that. Like, next year when the Olympics, and I think it's bigger roster, it almost definitely is, right? Bigger rosters next year than what we have right now. Like, the guys I'm thinking of, Trocheck, Kreider, Nelson, you know, like, are we going to see the guys you mentioned, Jason Robertson, maybe even throw in that mix as someone we could see there instead? That's the one thing I just wonder. Like, is if Bill Guerin is the GM and Drury is involved still, like, will they actually bring the more skilled guys, or are they gonna look for someone that they think's more of like a fourth line type guy?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think that was something where when you look at the game, how it was pretty much in 2010, 2014, 2016, we're still looking at a more skilled game today. And I feel like the way the teams have started to look at their rosters has to be a bit differently. You know, you want some guys who can go out there and throw some hits and be tough to play against. Well, we saw the American, that was their top line. That was the Tkachuk brothers. That was Charlie McAvoy. Like, those are guys who are not just there to play a specific role. So you got to go out there, and if you're going to go beat a team like Canada where the center depth is Crosby, McDavid, McKinnon, and Braden Point, you got to be able to go out there and try and match their skill. And the Americans can, while also still being very physical. Like, it felt like throughout that entire tournament, when Canada used to be the team that people didn't want to face because of how hard they hit and how hard they skated, that was the American team this time. So I feel like that's going to be pretty big for them going forward. But you got to have those guys who can go out there and score from everywhere. And Brock Nelson wasn't that, but Tage Thompson and Cole Caulfield could have easily been those players.
Steven Nellis, Daily Faceoff with us. Jordan Binnington does show up in the big moment, like, was kind of built up that he could even before the tournament. Was it good enough? You think he'll be their goalie again next year?
When it comes to goaltending, like, Jordan Binnington could be either the best goalie in the NHL at the time of the roster announcement or the worst goalie, and wouldn't surprise me either way. I think with him, his ability to bounce back after allowing a bad goal was so important, and he finishes the tournament with the best high danger save percentage, even better than Connor Hellebuyck. But I would have to assume his low danger save percentage is probably among the worst because he did allow so many weaker goals. But his ability to allow a bad goal and then make some incredible saves the rest of the game and basically be perfect, it was so crucial. So we'll see. Hockey Canada liked him. They brought him to the World Championship last year, and if you thought he allowed some bad goals of this tournament, you should have seen him play against Austria when there were Canada was winning 6-2 in the third period, and they only won 7-6 in overtime, mostly because Binnington fell apart. So those type of games are still known there, but I think right now he's got that inside track. They like him a lot, but if Logan Thompson can show that this is not just a one-season thing and he can be this superstar goalie, I think they're going to have to look that way instead.
Steven Ellis with us. Do you think, we talking about like the years coming up, how 2028 there's a World Cup, we have the Olympics next year, What do you think they do in 2027? Because I just feel like an all-star game would just be feel like a total letdown if it's surrounded by all these awesome international tournaments.
Yeah, like at a certain point, like they're going to they can't keep the international tournaments because they will start to dilute it. Like you look at the fact that there is the Men's World Championship to be one of the most underrated and greatest hockey events. It's the one where all of Europe loves it, but North American teams, it doesn't resonate. Like Canada can win gold, and it's not even mentioned in the news. Latvia finishes third, and they get 3 days off as a country to go celebrate. Like it's a bigger, it's a completely different thing there. So for me, like I'd rather see the players go to that than have another tournament in the middle of the year. So like, I thought like for a while, if you want the All-Star game to matter more to these players, you've got to put like make it so players are playing for charities and make it so if they don't try, if they do the Nikita Kucherov thing, it makes them look bad. And if there's money on the line, again, like that matters a bit more. So we'll see what they do there. But yeah, like it's going to feel like a massive letdown going back to they're doing the All-Star game next year. Like at least that's what they announced. They're going to be doing that before the Olympics, which my opinion, I think that's going to be canceled at some point because why would the players bother with that? But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the league does.
Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff on Four Nations as we wrap this up. We had a fun question. Is there any player you came away after this tournament thinking differently of? I mean, for better or for worse, really. You can go positively or maybe they don't have it like they used to. You know, one player that you were really impressed with.
I'd say it's Dylan Larkin, and I feel like that's a player who has always been a leading part of the Detroit Red Wings, but for pretty much his entire career, he has not come close to tasting the playoffs. And I know a few fan bases could probably say the same thing, but when it comes to the way he played, I felt like he was the ultimate role player because he was fast. He was very good defensively. He was, if you look at the advanced analytics, like his goals, expected goals for percentage, it's like pretty much every time he was on the ice, the puck was in the offensive zone, and he was a big reason why. So Larkin, his ice time kept growing as the tournament wore on. He played really good against Canada with those 2 points on Saturday, but then he probably played his best game actually against Sweden when they were missing all those players. So Dylan Larkin just showed what Red Wings fans have been saying for this long time. Like he's not 90-100 point guy, but he brings so many other elements to the table that there's no way he's not going to be on the team in Italy next year when a lot of people were questioning why he was there this season to begin with.
Wrapping with Stephen Ellis. Before we let you go, Stephen, is there anything on the Sabres? any thoughts at all on a 14th year in a row missing the playoffs and they're like the one team in the East that's not even in the race?
There's no team in the NHL I want to see succeed more than the Buffalo Sabres because I love the fan base. And I don't know, man. I still think back to last year when they rushed Devin Levi to the NHL, and that made me so mad because, like, historically, having a goalie go from college to the NHL was a terrible idea. I really think they hurt his development. That's a little concerning to me for the long run there, but I think this team has just too many decent pieces here that I still think you got to make a GM change and go from there because I still think you got the talent here to make it work. It's just the right people have got to be the ones putting it together.
Stephen Ellis, Daily Faceoff. Stephen, thanks very much.
Yep, thank you so much.
Next year at the Olympics, by the way, did someone in the chat ask about other Sabres that could be at the Olympics next year? Like Kulik's going to be at the Olympics next year
for Czechia.
He's going to play for Czechia, and Paterka is going to play for Germany.
Yep.
Like 1,000%. He's probably on the top line with Dreisaitl, I would assume. Beyond that, that might be it. In the addition to, like, Tage.
Zone Power have any chance?
No.
I don't think so either.
For Canada?
Right.
Maybe in 5 years. But no, 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 no. I think it's more likely that at some point in his career, Levi's playing for Team Canada than Power is.
Okay. That sounds fair. 803-0550. We hear that a lot. One of the things Steven said, there's no fan base I'd like to see the Sabres succeed more than the Sabres, whatever. Like, yeah. Thanks. We would like that too. Our thanks to Steven Ellis, the Daily Faceoff. All right. I have a stat of the day for you. Maybe stat of the year. We're going to get DJ in Virginia first. And then I've got a stat of the year. about the Super Bowl viewership and stats that you didn't even know they could track, maybe.
Okay.
The story that it tells is something incredible. DJ in Virginia first, though. Hey, DJ.
Hey, guys. So I got a Let's Get Stupid. Maybe it's a Let's Get Stupid. So I thought Mitch Marner was one of the most impressive guys in the entire tournament. I don't think this is a trade for in the season, but after the season, the Toronto always losing the first or second round. The whole fan base is always furious at Mitch. I would give him the same deal for Pettersson, except maybe throw in a first round and a prospect because I think he's a better player. And then in the negotiations, because he has a no trade clause, bring Josh Allen to the actual negotiation.
Yes.
He's obsessed with them. We have the same owner. Finally be a good owner for both teams. Let's make it happen.
Well, Marner's a UFA at the end of this year. And
he hasn't signed yet.
No. He's going to get, what, $14 million?
Sure.
With the cap going where it's going to go?
Yeah. Maybe 15.
Well,
it depends where he goes. If he stays in Toronto, maybe it's 14. If he wants to play the free agent bidding game, mm-hmm. I bet he can find a team that'll give him 15. Maybe even.
And he could also.
What's the max? 16 the max?
He could also go for like 15 in Tampa versus 15 in, you know, Canada is different.
Right.
Taxes and all. Yeah, I mean, we kind of mentioned it earlier. Bring Josh in. Could he be the closer?
Why would Josh care enough to do it as a favor?
Yeah, the same reason that he goes.
He goes to
Sabres games. He wants the Sabres to be good.
Maybe he wants to buy a minority stake in the team.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, though, is how do the Sabres get great players? I either need someone from here to become amazing, I need Josh Allen to convince them to come,
yeah,
or I need them to not have any trade protection so I can trade for them and hold them hostage until it works.
The other way to do that is to tank, but people will yell at you for a decade if you say what they should do.
We can't do that again.
All right, stat of the day. You ready for stat of the day? Stat
sure,
of the day,
yes.
You tell me if this is stat of the year.
Okay.
Stat of the decade.
Okay.
I found a story.
The decade? We went above the year?
I might want to say stat of the decade. At awfulannouncing.com. They have some numbers on the Super Bowl and specifically the Super Bowl halftime show. So Kendrick Lamar puts on the halftime show. Some people hate it. Plenty of people loved it. I thought it was pretty great. Anyway, the New York Post has reported that we can say definitively that New York, mm-hmm. they did not dip out on the halftime show.
Okay.
So in New York City, people were not skipping the halftime show.
Okay.
How do they know that? Or what would let them lead them down that road? Well, people must have been staying by the television. The answer is that the Department of Environmental Protection found that water use plunged during Kendrick Lamar's performance. Basically, they can chart how often toilets were flushed. And during the halftime show, there were 558,000 fewer toilet flushes during that than there were in the game's first half. So people went to the bathroom more during the football than they did Kendrick Lamar. So the toilet data has told us that people did not skip the halftime show. How do you like it? And I've got a chart. They gave us a chart. You see this little line going across like this, and then when Kendrick Lamar shows up on the screen, zoom, it dips. People stop flushing toilets in New York City.
We have advanced analytics for toilets now?
Yeah.
Only
yeah.
in New York City, though.
Flushes per 60. Expected
yeah.
flushes. Basically, we're saying there were 550,000 minus expected flushes.
Yeah.
Which, how many minutes was the halftime show? 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
So, minus 55,000 flushes per 60.
Yep. Can they get the same data? Well, they can't because it's the U.S. But in Toronto, I bet Toronto didn't have that.
That might be right.
Might have had a lot of them because
they do want to say
the Drake fans up
they
there.
They can't necessarily flush out the difference between toilets and other water usage, dishwashers, washing machines, showers. Maybe people didn't shower during the halftime show. I don't know. Whatever. I found it to be an interesting story, tracking a precipitous drop in toilet flushes.
In toilet flushes. That's pretty good.
Yep. Anyway, another random story that's making the rounds in Cleveland is that Shedeur Sanders, potential top prospect in this quarterback draft, which, who did I just see? Was it Daniel Jeremiah? Somebody ranked the quarterbacks this year and said the top quarterback in this year's draft has the same grade as Bo Nix.
Okay, we had Eric Edholm on the other day, and he said, didn't he say Cam Ward was like in the tier of like Penix and Bo Nix?
Okay, yeah. And yeah. Nix was the sixth quarterback taken.
Right, right.
So the best quarterback in this would be QB6, according to that. Anyway, Shedeur Sanders, it has been revealed, when he plays Madden, he uses the Browns.
And only the Browns.
Only the Browns. He exclusively uses the Browns when he plays Madden, which has led some to say, is that posturing? Does that mean something? Is he trying to convince them you should take me because I'm practicing?
Is he mentally getting prepared to be a Brown?
And to throw the ball to Jerry Jeudy and looking at their playbook?
Yeah. They pick second.
They do.
So, like, if it's Cam Ward at one, then is that what he's campaigning for? Maybe two? To get to the second pick? I would have thought it was more likely he just wouldn't want to play for Cleveland. But there's none of that sideshow stuff's happening right now. Like, there was, maybe he'll be, I'm only going here, I'm only going there, and that could still happen. But I was wondering, like, if he would be, like, I'm not going to Cleveland. And this kind of feels like maybe the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'd love to be the second pick.
Cleveland's got a good coach. I do think they have a good coach.
They have a good coach. They have a really good offensive line. I think I'd want to go there.
I don't think it's a...
They have a good receiver, they have a good coach, good offensive line, and the defense has got some talent.
It's a terrible spot because of one decision that they made, which is a horrible decision about money and draft picks, blah, blah, blah. But before that decision, they were not some,
No, they were playoff team.
Derelict franchise. They were kind of okay. They'd crawled back to middle of the road mediocrity stuff. No more 1-15s and 0-16s. They'd been respectable. So I don't think it's nuts to want to play there or be okay with playing there.
They almost beat the Chiefs in a playoff game.
That they did. Everybody almost beats the Chiefs in a playoff game.
That's fair. Although I think that was also the one that Mahomes missed.
He got knocked out. And Chad Henne ran for a 4th-and-1.
Yeah, so they couldn't beat him. But yeah, they had. I mean, the Browns were like Hugh Jackson, like the worst seasons of all time. Since then, like since 2020, 11 wins, 8 wins, 7 wins, 11 wins, and then 3 wins. So like they had a 5-year stretch there.
Yeah.
Where it was like, all right, it was pretty good. How much of that was Mayfield? A chunk.
Right.
But there was the 11 win year with Flacco and even Watson playing terribly. They had had a winning record that year. So, all right, I could if I were a quarterback, I could look at the Browns and say, I'd rather go there than the other teams at the top. I'd rather go to Cleveland than. Would I rather go there than New York and be a Giant? Would I rather go there and be a Titan? Roster wise, I could understand that.
So we've got a little bit of an update on James Cook.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on the nightcap, not our nightcap.
Not our nightcap?
No, with Shannon Sharpe and Chad Ochocinco.
Okay.
And they talked about his ask of $15 million per season. We'll tell you what James Cook had to say when we get back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And after great consideration, we will be amending our expectations to allow our players and ununiformed personnel to have well-groomed beards. Well-groomed beards! Moving forward, it is the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy.
So they could have beards. What about their hair length?
It doesn't say anything about hair length, so I guess it's gonna, that still will be a thing. The kid won't have the long hair, I guess.
I guess,
but
right.
A well-groomed beard.
Okay.
Imagine being the guy who has to tell him, hey, your beard's not groomed well enough. You got to groom that up. Who's in Chiz Hal going to go down there?
Boomer and Geo reacting live to the news. The Yankees put out a statement today. Beards are allowed. Facial hair is allowed. There you go, 2025. So, James Cook. We have the next, whatever, episode in the James Cook story. It's nothing too crazy, but I think you can expect to continue to hear from James Cook through the offseason. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. He joined Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco on Nightcap, which is a show they do on YouTube. Just watched a little bit of the segment. And they're talking to Cook about, you know, the Bills, his year. They're talking about the roles that running backs play and that call that all the running backs got on last year, Barkley, Jacobs, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Cook says, I just want to get what I deserve. I'm going to stand on what I stand on. I don't feel like a cancer at all because I don't like that attention. That's not me, honestly. I'm just standing on business and what I deserve. In talking about his upcoming contract extension he wants for $15 million a season. One thing about Cook and the approach here. We talked about this with Mike Catalana of Buffalo Plus on YouTube and WHAM in Rochester. And he brought up what I thought was an interesting point. That Cook should wait until after the draft and after free agency to have done all this. He can sign a contract, but right now, if the Bills got mad at him, they could draft another running back. They could sign a guy that they think is reasonably good and say, like, all right, we're just going to use up James Cook's final year of his rookie deal and then let him walk because we think we can find somebody else that can do this.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting point to make about the timing of it. But anyway, Cook is clearly going to use any platform he gets. He tweeted it himself. Now he's on a podcast and he's saying it again. Like, I want to get paid what I deserve, which I don't have a problem with him saying that. But I think Bills fans should get used to him saying this to anybody that asks him.
Right. Yeah, I get the timing point is interesting too, because if he really wants that money from the Bills, like if you are Bean right now, are you calling Cook's agent and saying, like, how serious is he about that number? Like, is he really going to hold his ground on that? Because maybe if you were Bean, you wouldn't have even thought about this yet before the draft, before free agency, and might have thought, oh, we'll get something done. You know, we'll figure out where he's at after all this. And now maybe you're thinking, I'm not giving him $15 million. I wonder how likely it is that we're able to come to an agreement. So you know what? Let me take a scout. And let me take two guys in my front office that weren't presently assigned. That's like, hey, go start looking at running backs that are a little bit more expensive. Go start looking around, see like if we weren't going to be able to keep James Cook past next year, go give me a list of guys that could be potential options then, you know, round three guys. maybe that you wouldn't have been thinking about already as much. Give me a little more detail on him. Just you might put the Bills' radar up a little bit more on having to replace James Cook than you otherwise would have been. And that's a loss of leverage.
Yep.
If they were actually act on that, and if they drafted a guy in the third round, what would our takeaway be? Well, I guess they're not paying James Cook.
That's right. One thing I wonder here, I want to make a comparison. So McDermott raved about Cook at the end of the press conference, right?
Yes, he did.
And if there's one thing the Bills might do, so I got a couple of snarky comments about Brandon Bean from a couple people on Twitter and wherever people comment, my text club, among other things, where the increase in the cap and the Bills need to go all in means that Bean will sign his own mediocre players that he loves to big contracts. Because the Bills have done that a little bit, not with everybody. The biggest example is probably Dawson Knox. They signed Dawson Knox to way too much money.
Yeah.
He should not have gotten the contract he did. He did. They've since redone it. They value him. That's fine. They can value him. And they can tell you that it's important what he brings to this team, locker room, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. If you want to pay for that, you pay for that. And I think right now the Bills have a couple examples where they do pay for that. Is James Cook inner circle like that? Has he proven to them on a level with McDermott raving about him at the end of season press conference, his laser focus?
Yeah.
Has he grown, matured, blah, blah, blah? I've said blah, blah, blah twice in this segment. I apologize. Yada, yada. Has he entered the circle of trust where they say, listen, we don't think he's worth 13, but as a player, but he brings things to our room that, you know what, we are going to pay that. Because that is definitely how Dawson Knox's contract is justified.
That doesn't...
I'm not telling you have to like it, but is that not true? It is. If you get inner circle, you're going to get paid.
Can both be true, though? Can they value what Dawson Knox bring to them and also regret giving him that contract?
Yeah, do they maybe justify it after the fact?
Yeah. That's before they even draft Kincaid.
Right. Right? Knox was not a threat to hit the open market. I don't think we ever talked about what would happen if they lose him, and they just gave him a lot of money.
Okay, we value all that Knox provides, like his friendship with Josh and his leadership in the room and how versatile he is. And okay, what if he was 1 year younger? If it was time to pay him and they just drafted Dalton Kincaid, would they then pay him? What if Kincaid's in the building and then they have to decide?
It's a great question.
I'm not saying they don't value that stuff, but should it be the thing? Should be the determining factor as to whether or not you pay a guy,
He gets paid like a tight end that should produce, and yet he's not even the tight end that we will spend the entire offseason saying they really got to get production out of this guy. It's the other tight end we're going to say that about because he was a first round pick.
Right. He's just kind of there on the roster. 33 targets on the year.
And how much?
$10 million. And that's just kind of off to the side, right? Because Kincaid had a down year. So I don't know. You just want to do that again. Sign up for that again. And again, that Gabe Davis would have been this. And he was inner circle, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they said, nah, there's a point. There's a point where we value what you are, we value the work you've done, the growth you've had, and what you mean to the quarterback and to the room as a whole, but there's a limit. And for Gabe Davis, there was a limit. It was $13 million. And I can't imagine that Brandon Bean's limit isn't below $15
million. 803-0550. Denny in Middlebury's up. Hey, Denny.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me on. My idea for Cook, and I want to preface this by saying that I'm a huge fan since the day we drafted him. Really disappointed that he came out in the media the way that he did. I know that that's not the Bills' way. And I think he's a great player, but I know he's not worth $15 million. He's the product of his environment. His environment includes a really great offensive line that has been together for years, doesn't miss games, and then he's got a decoy in Josh Allen that everybody wants to pay attention to on the goal line as well. So I feel like those 15 touchdowns are inflated. I think he's a great player, but in this day and age, I don't think any running back's really worth $15 million unless you're Saquon. So I think if we can trade him, I think that's a great idea. And then just sign a veteran running back. But I have faith in Ray Ray. I think that he's going to do a good job. Johnson comes back. We're still in a good shape to really have some success with this team. So trade him and not worry too much about it other than the cash savings.
Yeah, thanks, Denny. One thing I would say, I don't think his touchdowns are inflated. I think, if anything, it's the opposite. He doesn't score from inside the five. He scores from distance.
His average length of touchdown was 15.
And I also just checked yards. I checked something here, which is kind of, I wanted to look this up. I did not know this answer. Like, all right, I tend to agree. He's in a really good ecosystem with a quarterback that is a freak show, and the offensive line is the best that he's probably had. Cook's yards before contact this year were the lowest of his career. 2.6 yards before contact is lower than he was even last year. Where you see a difference in Cook from last year to this year, two straight Pro Bowl appearances, right?
Yep.
Is yards after contact and broken tackles and attempts per broken tackle. He is tougher to bring down than he used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
He broke more tackles this year. So.
He beat, and that doesn't even show up in like how many more times he beat guys to the edge this season.
How about rushing yards over expectation? Let me pull up that one in Next Gen Stats.
I know he was like right around 9th or 10th, I think.
Okay.
But I haven't looked in a while. But it was good. It was definitely good.
I think he's good. I don't have any doubt I think he's good. I don't know about a trade piece. I also, you know, to your point that you brought up there, Denny, I don't have any problem with a player going public. Because keeping it behind closed doors is 100% to the benefit of the team. For him to say, I want to get paid what I'm worth, what's wrong with that? I don't think it's... in 2025, I don't know why we should treat that like it's bad. The team uses every lever to pay players less than they should be paid. The salary cap, come on, we're a family. The we're a family stuff is a way to get you to play for less.
Right.
We're a family. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. If you value me like a family member, then pay me what I'm worth.
Right, so we're family until you're not actually that good anymore. Then we're going to cut.
And then you're cut, you're gone, or then we decide I mean, Gabe Davis was family. And sorry, Gabe, you're not enough of a family member to get $13 million from us.
Well, I don't have a problem with him going public, but he is losing leverage, isn't he? By doing that?
How so?
With any negotiation with the team. Like, we just kind of went through it. Like, maybe you put them onto the scent a little bit earlier than you need to.
Of what he wants?
Only by a couple months, right? Like,
but he wants to get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you go in there, you say you want 15. If they come and say 3 for $33, okay. Sounds great. I'm getting with, you know, guaranteed money. Just putting a number out there, it's just kind of like any old deal. Would you sign him for 3 for $30? Sure. How much is guaranteed? Is 7 of it guaranteed or is 28 of it guaranteed? I don't think he loses leverage. I think he had a great year. He is their most dynamic player outside of Josh Allen. If they're going to bring back Amari Cooper, then they desperately need James Cook. Who's fast? Who's explosive? It's Cook. And Shakir sometimes. And cross your fingers for Curtis Samuel again.
Say Samuel's the answer, but you don't know if he's going to be
so
healthy.
I don't think he's losing leverage. He might be losing a little bit of good grace with some fans. Like, you know, Denny doesn't like that he did that. I don't have a problem with it. But it's interesting.
He also isn't really that loud about it.
I agree.
It's a tweet. It's an Instagram post.
It's an Instagram
not even Instagram post.
Post,
Instagram comment, right? And then he kind of, even what he said on the podcast was pretty tame.
Right, he said.
Like, he's not being that overt about it.
He said,
it's pretty mild.
I don't want to feel like a cancer at all because I don't like that attention. That's not me. I'm just standing on business and what I deserve.
Yeah.
Just want to get paid what I deserve. That is the tamest way you can say it.
Right, he's not doing like what Tyreek Hill did, which is like, I'm out of here, man. Like, just like, you've seen more egregious things, I think, around the league this offseason already than what Cook has
said.
And
let's be real about it. What running back has made it difficult for his own team? Guy hits the free agent market and wants money, that's fine. Like, Jacobs got paid. Derrick Henry did not get big money in Baltimore. Saquon got good money. But guys that hold out backs...
Remember, his brother is one of these, but he didn't hold out. Like, it was like a day or two,
and he got paid.
He
got a big contract.
Didn't Jonathan Taylor have something like this a couple years ago?
Yeah.
No, maybe we thought that. See, sometimes you blend between guys we thought were about to hold out and then guys that actually did. and made it ugly. Because the guy that comes to mind that made it ugly, and this is how long ago now, is when Le'Veon Bell sat out for an entire season.
Yeah.
And that's one guy that did that, and it was a long time ago. And, like, come on, no one in the right mind believes James Cook would sit out a season.
And what he probably did, Le'Veon Bell, was teach every running back, never take it that far.
Because he lost money.
He lost $15 million, $12 million.
Yeah.
803-0550. We'll get a break in. Extendo Sports coming up.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
It is not too late. We did not forget the Sabres play the Rangers tomorrow. Dog of the day. Time to make some guesses. Sabres host the Rangers. Then they host the Ducks. So we get, you know, two dogs of the day here.
How about a Four Nations themed dog?
Okay.
And you could either go American, or maybe you could do a dog where there's like four different toppings, one for each nation. You know?
How about a tribute
so
to...
So, like, America, you go bacon. For Canada, you go Canadian bacon.
Okay.
For Sweden, you Swedish go bacon. Meatballs. And then for Finland, you go...
Haggis.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. Is it Finnish? I was going to make a joke. Like, you can call it the overcooked dog as a tribute to the Rangers players that were on Team USA.
Let's go.
Let's have the hot dog of the day be trash.
Jabs at the other team?
Yeah, trash talk every time. Why not?
Yeah, the Kreider stinks dog.
the washed... No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. These are American players that we love.
The Drury should be fired dog.
We loved these players until last night.
Yes, that's right.
Go USA. What happened? They lost? All right. Get them off the team. All right.
If it's a Ranger dog, though...
New York style.
That's an easy one, right? Yeah.
What's a New
like
York
a Nathan,
style?
What's a Nathan's dog?
Coney Island kind of deal?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
New York style hot dog. Anyway, dog of the day. Enjoy the Sabres game. The Sabres play tomorrow against the Rangers. They are back. And it's a 5:30 game. That's not bad.
Yeah, I'm into that.
And then home for the Ducks. Carolina, Montreal, San Jose.
All right, you got some teams that aren't that great in there.
Some.
Go on a streak. Make me wonder if I should think about them getting back in the race.
I mean...
I'm not even asking to get back in the race. I'm asking you to get me to wonder about you getting back in the race. That's the current standard.
You'd like to pull into a tie for 14th.
That sounds like amazing. It's a dream.
All right, the Extra Point Show is coming up. We're back Monday morning. Enjoy your weekend.